Please be sure to visit our Etsy store for some great Warrior Next Door podcast merchandise, and please consider becoming a premium subscriber. Just go to our Facebook page to sign up and receive each series uncut in its entirety.
Oh yeah, hear that? Sound of the crunchy guitars, slamming drums. That's an Air Raid edition. And for those new to the show, an Air Raid edition basically covers topics that's related to the show, but not exactly aligned with the content that we usually provide, which are firsthand personal accounts or oral histories from our veterans, from people that Ryan and I interviewed over the years. So this Air Raid edition features Sarah Westerholm, who is the granddaughter of someone that we interviewed and featured on our podcast last year, named Leo Westerholm, who was a 101st Airborne Trooper who was captured on D-Day and suffered horribly in the POW camps. And it's really special for Ryan and I to know that our podcast and the website, thewarriornextdoor.com, can act as a conduit to allow families to reconnect with people that they may not have even have known that we have interviewed. So sit back and, listen in.
All right,
cool. If you hear anything in the background, it's my husband being obnoxious. So
hey, you know what? That's what husbands do. We're obnoxious.
Yeah, right? It is.
I happen to know a little bit about that. Yeah. So, first off, what I want to say is I can't thank you enough for reaching out to us. Ryan and I had a chance to meet with Leo and record, you know, his experiences so long ago, almost 20 years ago, and yet I can remember it like it was yesterday. I can remember going to Port Lavaca. You may have heard this from the podcast, but as you can tell, I have no hair. I'm follically challenged. I'll never forget this, Sarah. I knock on the door, Ryan stands behind me. He opens the door, he leans in, he goes, "Do you got cancer?" That was literally the first thing he said to me. Not, "Hey, how you doing?" And I knew right then that Leo and I were gonna get along just great. And one of the things, Sarah, is when Ryan and I record these interviews and we send them to the Library of Congress, we knew they would just be buried there. So we got this podcast to share them. And we always wondered, will somebody, a relative, stumble across what we're doing and say, "Hey, that's my grandfather." And you did. So how did you find us to even leave us a message on our website?
Yeah, I just was doing a Google search, for the fun of it, I guess. Actually, I think it was to show my husband, because he's a big history buff, and I'm not a history buff. And although granddaddy told me his stories a million and one times, they never stuck because my brain just doesn't absorb that kind of info. And so I wanted to show him, you know, what granddaddy did and everything that he was known for. And when I searched his name, your website came up, and I was like, "What is this?" And that's how I found it.
Well, that's exactly why we started the website. And believe me, You may or may not have heard any of our podcast episodes, but it's just myself, Tony Lupo, and then Ryan Fairfield. Ryan and I have been best friends forever. We recorded these interviews. We do all the podcasts. I maintain the website. I put a lot of work into the website to make sure that if people like you type in something like Leo Westerholm, that it will show up. So you'll never know. You just won't know how happy it makes me to hear you say that you did that and that it worked. And so when you went onto website, I mean, how much did you know about your grandfather's like role in World War II and all that? I mean, you mentioned they tried telling you stories and stuff, but how much did you know?
So we knew, I personally, always knew that he was a POW, and that he was a part of D-Day. But I didn't know like what his role was in the military. I didn't know anything about any of his basic training. So I learned, I've only had time to watch the first episode, but, I learned a lot just about him in that first episode that I never, he told us about like see, and I can't even remember specific stories that he told us, but he just told us like general information versus with you guys, he went into really good depth. And I was such a kid that when you're that little, it, important things like that don't process to you, I guess. But now that I'm an adult and I realize like, oh man, he made a huge impact on a lot of people for his position in the war. And so, and it actually, he ended up having him and my grandmother, they tried having kids naturally and they couldn't. So they adopted my dad and my aunt, from two separate families. They're not from the same family. But I'm pretty sure that the reason they had to adopt is because of something that happened to him while he was a POW.
Ah, interesting. And I was going to ask you more about yourself, and you just kind of opened that door a little bit. So I didn't know, and this is why I really wanted to reach out to you, is, you know, we hear that period of history when they were young, whether it's a male or a female or young men and women, and they'll touch on a little bit about what happened to them when they came home after the war. Like, for example, we knew that by the time we interviewed him, his wife had passed away and he was sick with something, but I didn't know that. So Leo, and what was Leo's wife's name again? I forget your grandma.
June.
Okay.
So. Yeah. But he called her Junebug, and I mean, he called her every name, but her name.
That sounds like Leo. Yeah. So Leo and Dorothy June, they adopted two kids, and you are his granddaughter. So your father was one of those kids that he adopted, correct? So could you tell me a little bit, what do you remember about your grandpa, like going to visit him, and what kind of grandfather and grandmother were they?
They were the most amazing grandparents. They are what I want my children's grandparents to be like. Like, they made, so I have two brothers. Our parents split when we were younger. And so we did Easter and Thanksgiving with that side of the family. And Easter was always spent at grandmama and granddaddy's house, and they made it so magical for us. Like, granddaddy would take us outside and have us make an Easter's nest, like a Easter bunny nest in the grass with, he would dig a little hole, and we would put that like fake grass stuff and put some eggs out there and carrots and all kinds of stuff. And then they would set up, I believe you went to the house in Port Lavaca, our childhood home. Oh. And so they would set up the Easter baskets on that table that you guys sat at. And we would have like a trail of candy from our bedroom leading to the Easter baskets for us to find that next morning. Like, it was, they were so magical. And he loved playing with us. And he wasn't, I mean, he had the nicest garden and lawn you would ever see. It was top of the line. That man was always out there gardening. That was like, oh, that was his passion. And so we spent a lot of time outside with him. And I don't know if the horse tire swing was still in the front when you guys visited, but we spent a lot of time on that tire swing in the front. And then in the back, they had like a storage kind of work shed thing. And they had a fridge out there. And you know those little mouthwash cups, those little Dixie paper cups?
Yep.
His thing was to take us out there and open up a Coke bottle, the glass Coke bottle, always had to be glass. And he'd pour us each a little bit in the one of the cups, and then he'd tip it back and he'd go every time. It never failed. So anytime I hear somebody do that, I think of granddaddy. Like, it was just so refreshing to him. Gosh, he was so, so fun. And he was really involved with like, the local VFW there in Port Lavaca. And then he did something. I don't remember exactly what it was. I know it had to do with being a veteran. But once a year, I believe, they would travel to Corpus, which is 2 hours south, I think, of Port Lavaca. And they would get hotels. There was a convention there, and he always had to go speak. And they would get this really nice hotel at the Omni, and they would take all of the grandkids, and we would go huddle up in this hotel room and get to play and splurge on all the amenities. And I'm pretty sure they were the only ones that brought their grandkids, but they didn't care. They brought us all along, and we went and had so much fun. That was a trip that we looked forward to every single year. Oh, and man. So, I mean, they were fun, fun grandparents. I talk about them all the time because they were just so amazing. And Granddaddy, like, I've never met a soul that didn't like Granddaddy, because he was just so friendly and outgoing and funny. And he just loved to talk. That man, if you can ask my sister-in-law, like, she only knew him for a couple of years, but she could sit there and just listen to him talk for hours and hours. And Grandmommy would be in the back, Leo, leave her alone. She doesn't want to hear that. And Roxanne's like, no, please let him talk to me. Like, I loved it.
Yeah.
That's, yep. I mean, anybody that knew Granddaddy, they would just let him talk all his nonsense, and you never knew what was true or what was made up, or, you know, like, you just let him talk.
Oh, my recollection of him is spot on with what you're saying. I mean, some veterans have a hard time just describing some of their experiences. Some of them don't want to talk about it. Some of them do. They just have a hard time articulating it. But your grandfather didn't have that issue at all. We actually had, we went out there twice. We spent a couple hours interviewing him, and he still had more to say. And we were living, Ryan and I, he and his wife and me and my family were living in Houston at the time. We drove down to Port Lavaca, I think a few weekends later. We went out to, I think, have lunch with him somewhere, one of his favorite places. I can't remember where now.
Probably the Wagon Train, if I had to guess.
My gosh, that sounds so familiar. Is this, please tell me that that's still there.
No, I think it caught on fire.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Cause I go to Houston quite a bit, and Ryan and I were thinking about, you know, kind of doing a road trip and checking out that area again. It was just, it was really, really memorable. And, the other thing I liked about Leo is he was so direct. He would just say things. It's like he didn't have a filter, but he wasn't mean about it.
No,
he wasn't
malicious. There was no malicious intent. He was just speaking.
Yes. And I found that remarkably refreshing. You know, like I said, when he opened the door, the first thing he wondered is if I was having kids, I had cancer. And I'm like, no, I just don't have any hair. And what little I have, I shaved it off. So anyway, it's good to meet you. I'm Tony. But he was such a cool dude. Does it help you or your family to know that there's some place out there now that you guys can listen to him tell these stories again?
Yes. When I actually found your website, I sent it to my cousin and then immediately sent it to my aunt. My father passed away in 07. So he's not with us anymore, but my aunt is still here. And so I immediately shared it with her and my cousin and my sister-in-law, so she could share it with my brothers. And my aunt, I mean, went straight to Facebook and shared it with her friends, because a lot of her friends were people that knew Grandmommy and Granddaddy and knew the kind of person that Granddaddy was. And so all the comments that I saw on my Aunt Sheila's post, they were like, we cannot wait to listen to this. Like, it's going to be so good to get to see and hear Leo's voice again. And so, I mean, you guys having the videos up has made a world of a difference. I know, because he is such a person to be missed. Like, he is dearly, dearly missed.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Sarah.
That's okay. His last little bit of time we had with him left on earth, he was not himself. His health declined pretty quick. And so, you know, the last memories that we had of him, they weren't of Granddaddy. They were of a person that was a fragment of Granddaddy. So I think you have video and audio, and I'm pretty sure there's a separate audio where you guys asked him how he was doing, and he said, oh, flip, flat, and dally, or something like that.
Yep.
And I showed that to Justin, and I said, if you ever wonder what Granddaddy was like, this is a serious interview that he's doing, and that is his answer. Like, that's Granddaddy right there. Doesn't matter. He could be speaking to the president and he would come up with some silly old saying like that.
He had charisma. He was a charismatic guy and he was smart and he had great wit. You know, a quick story that I'll share with you. We put on our podcast, but it's some episodes into it. We brought him to the Wings Over Houston autograph tent for veterans. Mm-hmm. I think around 2004-ish, I'd say. And it was very well attended. It's a huge air show there. And I mean, these autograph tents had these really, these well-known veterans, like the Tuskegee Airmen, for example, right? People like that. And when Ryan and I took over the tent, we asked the person that we reported to, hey, can we bring in local veterans that we're interviewing? And they're like, do you think people are going to want to talk to veterans that they don't know, that they haven't read about in the book or anything? And we're like, I think they will. Maybe. So we brought in Leo Westerholm and a bunch of other people that we had got to know from the interviews we were conducting. And it was a hit. People loved it. And I can still see, there's two things I remember about that day. One is Leo had these handwritten notes on these soup cans, on the labels that came off the soup cans that he took notes of during the war as a POW to write his memoir. And people were flocking around him and he was talking to everyone. And the other thing I remember, I don't know who was there with him. I don't know if it was your aunt or someone else, but he took off. he went to do something and didn't tell us or his aunt that he was going somewhere. Next thing we know, Leo's gone. And whoever was there with him was losing their mind. It's like, where is Leo? We can't find him. And you know, about a half hour later, he just comes trundling back like nothing happened, had a hot dog in his hand. He was just milling around.
Yeah. he was very much in his own world. He wasn't in a rush. He just kind of took his time and did what he wanted. I mean, he never meant any harm. So for me, it was hard to understand why Grandmommy was always angry with him. But as an adult now, I understand because it's frustrating. But I mean, back then, I'm like, just let him do his thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and tell us a little bit about yourself, Sarah. So, so where are you right now and what are you doing? And I know you got some kids.
Yeah, my husband and my son and I actually just moved to Georgia. We were living in about an hour north of Corpus. And all of our family, well, all of my side is in Texas, but we came to Georgia to be with my husband's side. And we have a 1.5-year-old and we are 7 months pregnant with number two.
Oh.
Are you okay? And so we're just living life, but I mean, yeah, it's different. It's hard being away from family. But I wanted our children to get to know their father's side of the family as well. And we love it out here. The weather is beautiful. The trees are beautiful. I mean, where we lived in Texas, it's shrub country and we like to be outside. And my son, Rustin, he would live outside if he could. So when we were in Texas and it was 115 degrees for 3 months straight, like you can't do anything outside in that.
Right.
So yeah, we just came over here and we're loving it so far.
That's great. And you said your son's name is Rustin?
Rustin, yeah.
That's a cool name. I see you had a little doggy in the window.
We have two. We have a Great Dane and then a mutt.
Okay, so it wasn't a little dog at all. I saw a very large dog head then.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just wanted to reach out to you to just thank you for connecting. For as much as you said you appreciate being able to access these memories of your grandfather, I think that Ryan and I appreciate just as much knowing that we're not just speaking into a dark void of emptiness, that there's people that could connect with some of these individuals that we interviewed a long time ago and we've lost. And I'll add something else, Sarah. In the same week that you reached out to us, another individual named Chris Kramer reached out to us about 3 or 4 days after you sent your message to us. His daughter was doing research on World War II for her grandfather, Alan Kramer, who we featured on our podcast as well.
So cool.
Interviewed him in Houston around the same time we interviewed your grandfather. And she had the same thing. She found our website. She found Alan Kramer's thing. It's part of her report now. I would say that that week when the two of you reached out to us were the best weeks we've had in the 3 years we've done this podcast. I mean that.
That's awesome. Well, I will be happy to let you know that my sister-in-law actually homeschools my niece and nephew, and I am fairly certain that she's planning on creating a lesson around your guys's podcast with Granddaddy in it. So, I'm sure she'll feature some other veterans, but I know that when I sent her that link, her goal was to create a lesson around the whole situation. So you guys are definitely making an impact, and we're all so thankful that we have those videos of Granddaddy. It melts my heart to be able to just sit here and watch and see his character and just have memories come flooding back. You don't realize how much you remember until you're either talking about it or you're watching something. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, I remember this. I remember this. So watching the podcast helped bring back so many forgotten memories. So I greatly thank you for that.
Wow. And I appreciate you taking the time to meet with us, Sarah. This is fantastic. Is there any other things that you want to add about Leo or any other memories you may have, growing up with your grandparents that we haven't talked about before we sign off?
Nothing specific. I mean, just other than he was a great person. They were both great people. They everybody loved them. I mean, there was not a soul that I had ever known or met that didn't just adore June and Leo. I mean, the Westerholms were just, they were amazing people. And frankly, Granddaddy came from a family of all boys. I believe there was five of them total, and every single brother in the Westerholm family, they were kind, kind men and just so caring and sweet and funny and friendly. And so Granddaddy wasn't alone in being in his demeanor. I mean, he shared it with his brothers, and they were all amazing great uncles. So the Westerholm family is definitely something that I'm proud to be from.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording, Sarah, but please stay on the Zoom meeting if you could for just a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on 1 second. Concludes this Air-Rate edition featuring Sarah Westerholm, the granddaughter of Leo Westerholm. If you haven't had a chance to listen to Leo's story, please do. You can access it on any podcast site or our website at thewarriornextdoor.com. And something else that we want to reinforce is on the website, we create a page for every veteran that we feature on the show. So not only can you scroll down and find the veterans that we've featured, but you can go to their homepage, you can listen to the podcast there, you can see the uncut, unedited YouTube interview that we conducted. I should say we conducted and put it on YouTube. And anything else that they provided. In Leo's case, he provided a memoir. And also, really two memoirs, one from his time in the service and one from his visit back to the location where he got captured. And there's also a video from where Ryan and I, a couple of years ago with our families, went there and went back to the very site based on that map where Leo was captured. And nothing really, I'll tell you what, audience, if the only thing that is accomplished from having this podcast is to allow the families to find these historical accounts that they may not have even known about and share it with their families more widely and have it be a resource for them, then we've won. Okay. Everything else after that is just kind of icing on the cake, as they say. So we hope that you enjoyed and appreciate how amazing it is to be able to reconnect with family members in a way that, quite frankly, was just serendipity in action. And any rate, we look forward to seeing everyone next week as we continue to share the oral histories more widely with people we've had the honor to meet over the years as volunteers for Library of Congress. So
Until then.